Hello, hello, and welcome back to Mona's Rants. Oh my God, we made it, you guys. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. 2 weeks in for the 30-day challenge. Yes, going in strong. Very excited to be here. Happy Juneteenth to everybody celebrating. We are going to jump right into it. I wanted to take a moment and actually thank everyone. The video that I did yesterday about the predator male comedian was... needless to say, pretty emotional for me. It was definitely very vulnerable for me to talk about it in the manner that I did. And I think I really want to kind of take a moment and thank everyone who sent me private messages, showed me love, showed me support. It really, really does mean a lot. I mean, it seems like every day there is some... sexual assault or some rapist that's being outed every single day. Today, this actor by the name of Ansel Elgort, he's a star of a new West Side Story that's being directed by Steven Spielberg. He got accused of sexual assault. Yeah, his victim, who only identifies as Gabby, she came out and said that when she was 17 and he was 20. Hi, James. This girl named Gabby came out and accused Ansel Elgort of sexually assaulting her. She was 17, he was 20, and she was a virgin. And first of all, if you read the article, she's not even, you know, it's not even sexual assault. It's rape. He raped her. He raped a minor. She was 17. He was 20. So I don't know why in the media they're always trying to downplay it. They're like sexual assault. You know, it's just like, no, it's raping a minor. Like that is the truth. That's what this guy did. And it seems like every single day there's like one new rapist that is exposed to the world. And the media tries to downplay it by just calling it just sexual assault. It's not. Like, just listen to what he says about what he did to this girl. It's really disgusting. She currently resides in New York, she talks about how she met him in 2014. She was only 17 at the time. They met online, and she said that it was her first time. And this is what she says. She said, it was my first time and I was sobbing in pain and I didn't want to do it. The only words that came out of his mouth were, "We need to break you in." Is she a pair of fucking new shoes? Like, you need to break her in? What kind of gross way of saying that is? That's disgusting. And that's not the only thing. And this poor girl is talking about that years later. She said, I have PTSD. I have panic attacks. I go to therapy. She said, I was so young and he knew that. She said he as well said stuff like, you're going to be such a beautiful young lady when you're older. Thank God for Gabby that she's getting help and thank God that she's taking care of herself. But we can't like just brush stuff like this under the rug anymore. Like, you can't just dismiss because he's a star of the new West Side Story directed by Steven Spielberg. I mean, clearly it doesn't reflect very well on Steven Spielberg and his project, but this man is a rapist. He raped an underage minor and now he's gonna get all the star and the glory of walking the red carpet. This girl just came out. I think one thing I want to make clear is that you guys have to understand, okay? I understand that these are very uncomfortable topics. I've been talking about some very uncomfortable, difficult topics, and I really appreciate you guys for sticking around and listening to me and as I talk through and talk about, you know, my takes on it. And it really means a lot because you guys are true allies to listen to me talk about the difficult topics and to actually sit through it. So it really means a lot. And I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that. I think, women for the longest time have felt that we have not been heard or believed. And I think now that the tide is turning, that women, more and more women are getting encouraged to come out and talk about their sexual assault stories or their rape stories, you know, that it's getting a lot more uncomfortable. And I think a lot of men, although well-intended, don't have the language to communicate that. And I talked about it yesterday in my video about the male comedian predator, about how good men don't have the language. They're like, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't want to offend. I don't want to say something wrong. And it's just like, you know, sometimes we just need you to sit there and just listen to us and just acknowledge us. Like, literally sometimes that is sometimes more than enough to just sit there and acknowledge us and say, yes, you know, I'm sorry that this happened to you and I'm here for you. And I want to just listen to what you had to say. Sometimes that is enough. So I am going to say that the revolution has begun of equality for women when it comes to the equality of genders. And I think it's going to go to the next level, and it's not going to stop. It ain't stopping anytime soon. I'll tell you that much. So I encourage ladies, if you have been victims of sexual assault, you have been, try to be used or be intimidated sexually by a powerful man, speak up. Like, if there is any a time to talk about it, it's now. If you don't talk about it now, we're just kind of slowing the train down. You know, speak up. I think a lot of times, I was having this conversation with my brother yesterday, and I was talking to him about my situation with, like, the whole thing about Russell Peters and all that. And my brother was just like, you know, it's so crazy because I look at you and you're this strong sister of mine. You're this strong, outspoken woman who can hold her own. And he goes, so for me, when I hear stories like that from you, I can't process them because I can't imagine somebody doing this to you. And it's like, yeah, because I didn't have these conversations with you doesn't mean that it didn't happen to me. I promise you, if you go and talk to any single woman in your life, I promise you, from your mother to your daughters to your sisters, if your daughters are, of course, adults, they have at some point experienced sexual harassment, sexual assault of some kind. I promise you. Like, I was telling my brother, I was like, even though our nieces are young, I was like, I really pray to God that they grew up in a better environment than I did, where they don't have to be victims of sexual assault. They don't have to be victims of sexual harassment. They are going to grow up in an environment and a society that is equal, that treats genders equal, you know, that has gender equality, that does not treat women as second-class citizens. Like, I pray to God that those are the societies that my nieces are going to grow up in. I don't know if I'm going to have kids. I'm not so sure. I'm just getting older and fatter and hairier by the day. I don't know if my body is ready to make an arm or a leg or an eyeball for that matter. But the kids that are coming up the ranks, the my nieces and kids of that generation, they deserve a better society. They, you know, and it is our job to leave it better. I mean, it is our job because we are the ones right now, speaking out and helping make pass legislations and, you know, or speak up about them and to, talk to our politicians, speak up about our politicians, make our voices heard about things that we want change in the society for it to be a better progressive society. So it's up to us. So when they come along and it's their turn to carry the weight of, to carry the society forward, they can make it better, even better than they found with us. So I hope that's the case. But today is Juneteenth. I did open up by saying happy Juneteenth to everyone who's celebrating. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, my God, we have our African-American brothers and sisters who are still fighting systemic racism. We're still, you know, they're still being treated unfairly and, not with equality. And it is our jobs to stand up and to be their allies because now more than ever before, you know, the revolution has begun and we need to be part of the revolution. I mean, look, if you're a non-African-American person, you have privileges. Like, look, me, even though I'm an ethnic woman, I still have privileges. My privilege is that when I get pulled over by the cop, I never have to worry that if the cop is going to pull me over, pull me out of my car and put his knee on my throat till I stop breathing or I die. I never have to worry about that because I have that privilege, even though I'm an ethnic woman. I never have to worry about that if I walk down the street, if a cop's going to pull me over and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it out alive. No, more than likely, I'm going to make it out alive. That's my privilege. And we all have our parts to play. We all have our privileges to use towards something good and something better, which is to help out and to speak out for the equality of our African-American brothers and sisters now more than ever before. You know, I was reading about Juneteenth today and I was like, man, they didn't teach us this stuff in high school in history books. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Like, did they teach you this stuff in history books? Because I don't remember this at all. I mean, I just remember it being very like hunky-dory. It's like, yes, we had Thanksgiving and we had Native Americans who came over. We all sat down. We had turkey and then everybody said goodbye. And we shared a pie together and we hugged each other. And then we're like, toodaloo, which we know is not the truth. We know that that is not the history of America. Our history has been pretty barbaric. I mean, there really is kind of no other way to kind of say that. It's been pretty freaking barbaric. And I'm a big history buff. So I was reading up about Juneteenth, man. And I was like, shit, I wasn't taught any of this stuff. And I don't know if you guys know about Juneteenth, but here it goes. Okay, this is the kind of stuff that I learned about Juneteenth today. Of course, Juneteenth is a celebration. It's known as Freedom Day. It's known as Jubilee Day, Liberation Day, and Emancipation Day. And it's to celebrate the emancipation of those who had been enslaved in the United States. I mean, it originated in Texas, and it is now celebrated annually on the 19th of June throughout the United States. And, you know, specifically what it does, it commemorates Union Army General Gordon Granger announcing federal orders in Galveston, Texas on June 19, 1865, proclaiming that all slaves in Texas were free. Thank God for that. President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation had officially outlawed slavery in Texas and the other states in rebellion against the Union. Now, almost 2.5 years earlier, Texas, being the most remote of the slave states, had a low presence of Union troops after the American Civil War had ended. Thus, enforcement there had been slow and inconsistent before Granger's announcement. So even though, Juneteenth was officially, in 1865 that they saw, they say? Yeah. So although the Juneteenth is commonly thought of as celebrating the end of slavery in the United States, it was legal and practiced in two Union border states until December 6th, 1865, when ratification of the 13th Amendment of the Constitution abolished non-penal slavery nationwide, okay? Celebrations date to 1866, at first involving church-centered community gatherings in Texas. Texas, it spread across the South and became more commercialized in the 1920s and 30s, often centering on a food festival. Listen, who's not going to come together for food, man? Come on. How can you be racist around food, man? Come on. I think what was fascinating to me about Juneteenth is that they said that by the 21st century, Juneteenth was celebrated in most major cities across the United States. Activists are campaigning for the United States Congress to recognize Juneteenth as a national holiday. I 100% agree. I think we should get rid of Christopher Columbus Day and we should make Juneteenth the national holiday. Hawaii, North Dakota, and South Dakota are the only states that do not recognize Juneteenth. Jesus Christ, Hawaii, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Get with the freaking program, okay? Of the 47 states that do acknowledge Juneteenth in one way or another, Texas, Virginia, New York, and Pennsylvania are the only ones recognizing it as an official paid holiday for state employees. My God, not even California? And we're a pretty fucking liberal state. How the fuck is that possible? During the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln issued the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation on September 27th, 1862. It was formally issued on January 1st, 1863, declaring that all enslaved persons in the Confederate States of America in rebellion and not in Union hands were freed. I mean, that's, you know what it is? I think as a person who lives in America in 2020, like just the thought of somebody signing an executive order to be like, now, because you're an African American, now you have your freedom. I can't even imagine that. Like, how does one human have the authority over another human being's freedom, which is their God-given right? Every human being on this planet that ever was born or ever will is currently being born or ever will be born is born with the God-given right of freedom. It's pretty fucked up. Our story, our histories is pretty tainted with the things that are highly disturbing when it comes to that. So I was wondering, man, I was just like, why is it? Why is it that it's not taught in high schools? You know, why is it that, is it shame? Is it, is it whitewashing or erasing parts of history? Or is it just downright dismissing the suffering of African Americans? Like, what is that about, right? Like, why would you not teach such a significant part of American history? The reason to me is to push an America, to push an image of America as this progressive nation that somehow has, you know, that's like, you know, we're trying to put an image out there like we're very progressive, we're very, you know, inclusive. While, by the way, just don't look at all the crappy shit we did in the past, like erasing that, like that the suffering and the slavery of African Americans. To me, it's a false, it's like a false narrative and a false perception of putting out there to be like, we're progressive, we're actually progressive, but don't look at all the fucked up shit we did before, but just look at us now. It's like the Kardashians coming out and saying, hey, you know what, I'm like Kim Kardashian's like, oh, I'm going to law school and I'm going to become a lawyer, but hey, don't pay attention to the sex tape that actually made me famous and that I made my millions of dollars off of. Don't pay attention to that. Well, Kim, we are going to remember that. Not to compare that to minimize it to Kim Kardashian's sex tape, but we're talking about erasing a fucked up situation. We're talking about a fucked up past that you're trying to erase to move on, to try to look something amazing and hunky-dory, which you're not. I don't know, man. I mean, you can't just dismiss the suffering of millions of African Americans who lost their lives and had suffered for 400 years, to say that we are going to, you know, and say that we're just going to move on. And I think a lot of times what people forget, and I think even, and not just white people, I'm talking about, you know, immigrants. I'm talking about people like myself who, you know, who are immigrants, you know, Asian, South Asian, who are anything but non-Black, that this country was built on the back of African Americans for free. Like this, for free. They didn't get paid for it. It was slavery. I mean, they were held against their own will and made to build this country for free. So you can't deny those things. Just listen to some of these major events that took place against Black communities that I never learned in high school. And I bet you didn't either. I bet you didn't even know about that. I mean, it's just me. I wanted to take the time today and learn about Juneteenth because I wasn't taught anything about Juneteenth. I knew nothing about Juneteenth. So here we go. I mean, on... goodness, where did it go? Okay, here we go. I read this and I was like, what the hell is happening? So for instance, in 1921, in Oklahoma, whites looted and destroyed Tulsa's Greenwood District, known for its affluent Black community. Historians believe that as many as 300 Black people were killed. That's fucking insane. In May 1985, Philadelphia police dropped a bomb onto the compound of MOVE, a Black liberation group killing 6 members, 5 of their children, and destroying 65 homes in the neighborhood. Another often omitted period of U.S. Black history is the Red Summer, a period of time through 1919 when white mobs incited a wave of anti-Black violence in dozens of cities. I mean, even if you look at what's happening today with the protests for the, you know, the revolution that has become the killing of George Floyd, you're talking about 400 years of oppression and systemic racism. And I think when I think about it on a generational level, when you're talking about generational trauma, so you're saying that every Black person that was brought against their will to America and their descendants had, every generation has suffered trauma. Every generation for 400 years. Think about that for a second. Traumas get passed on into our genes, and that is a scientific proof, okay? So you're talking about a cumulative trauma of 400 years that have been passed on to 13% of the U.S. population, because that's how much the African-American population is, 13%. So 13% of America has severe 400 years of generational trauma. And they continue to suffer. And they continue to be victims of police brutality. Got it. Pretty fucked up. It's pretty fucked up. I don't know how else to verbalize this. It's pretty fucked up. I don't know, man. Like, you know, the British came and ruled not only the U.S., the British fucked up a lot of other countries. And one of the countries they fucked up was also India. And my ancestors at some point were also fighting the British and their tyrannical rule, because what they would call brown people, what they would call Indians, is coolies. And they told us that we were less than them. They told us that they, you know, they took over our country, they took over our resources, and told us that we were less than them. And we believed them. That kind of mentality, that kind of oppression stays with you generationally. And I think I've discussed this in previous videos about, you know, the whole culture that we have in South Asia of skin lightening, right? That comes from, we didn't do that before the British came along. We were just fine with our skin color. We were like, ah, shit, we go in the sun, we tan, we glow, oh, we love it. We didn't even have any idea of like, oh, lighter skinned person meant that you were superior. We didn't even have that. It was not until the British came along and fucked with our heads and started dividing and conquering the Hindus and the Muslims is when that kind of stuff started getting into our conscious and our subconscious. And we internalized it so much to that to this day, talking about generational trauma, to this day, we pass it along and somehow pass it along and say that, yes, being somebody of a lighter skin means that you are a better person, that you're a superior person. But the truth is, you know that, I know that, that it isn't the color of our skin that makes us better people. It is, just like Martin Luther King said, the content of our character. I don't know. I've met a lot of really great white people. I've met a lot of shitty white people. I've met some great brown people. I've met some shitty brown people. You know, I guess that's just the way it rolls, because at the end of the day, it's the person that you're choosing to be. But generational trauma is valid. I mean, it's really valid, and it exists, and it's a real freaking thing. My parents used to feed me milk because there is this insane belief system in South Asia that if you drink milk, it makes your skin white. Yes. Yes, I shit you not. Some people, you know what they do? They boil milk, take the cream, the top layer of the milk, and rub it on their skin in hopes that it would make them white, because somebody told them that it makes you white. What the fuck? It doesn't. It doesn't do anything. You just wasted good cream, you idiot. You could have put that in your coffee or tea and, you know, dipped some cookies in it and eaten it. But no, you have to put it on your freaking face because you want to be white, idiot. It's stupid. Talking about generational trauma. Sorry. Kind of took a little detour there. I think in a progressive society, there is no room for white supremacy. which usually comes with the erasing of the painful history of slavery and the and just the horrific treatment of African Americans. I want to discuss this further, but I didn't feel like me just kind of sitting here talking and ranting about it was going to do it justice. So I've actually invited a very, very funny comedian of mine. He's going to be joining us in 1 minute. He is awesome. I love working with him. He's hosted tons of my shows. Him and I have had some really in-depth conversations about race and religion and police brutality, mainly because he himself has also experienced it. He is he's an African-American man himself, a very, very funny comic, been around for a very, very long time. I'm just waiting for him to log in to come out and talk about this. But it's funny because I recently found a picture of him standing by my show that I used to do, which I still do online, but my live show called Minority Reports. And he's literally standing next to it and he's doing this sign. And I was like, this is so appropriate. I should take that picture and post it and share it because I think it's really valid. But I'm just waiting for him to log on so I can bring him on. But while we're waiting for him, oh, there he is. There he is. All right. I'm going to bring on my very, very funny friend. He goes by Friendly Frank. So here we go. I'm going to add him. Welcome, Friendly Frank. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yeah, I can hear you fine. This
nice
is cool.
You, man. Look at you. Look at you.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. I miss you.
Yeah, see, I got a beard now.
I have to shave my beard. Because I wasn't going to come out with... I wasn't gonna have
you looking good.
You have a beard, you know. That's it. This is the cutoff right here, Frank. You see this? That's the cutoff. Nobody's allowed to see below this because the pandemic weight is not attractive.
Oh, is that what it is? you'd be just fine, girl.
You're so sweet, man.
You need to just shake it. Just shake it a little bit.
Just shake it a little bit. That's my last name.
But yeah, man. They'll come a coming. They'll come a running. Just shake it a little bit.
The cover running. Hey, man, happy Juneteenth to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And a happy Juneteenth to you, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I was just talking to our audience about Juneteenth and the history of it, which I'm sure you know a ton of. I actually wanted to talk to you about the revolution that's happening today, and I am very proud to be a part of it and to go and be part of the protests and everything that's happening. Have you been to any of the protests yet, or in OC
no,
or whatever?
No. I haven't made any.
No.
You know, hey, you know, the thing with me is, I would love to, but you, I'm sorry, all those people together.
Yeah,
we still in the pandemic.
Agreed. I went with a mask.
And I'm not quite in the in that zone, but I'm almost in the zone where you don't want to catch this shit. No, it could kill you.
No, you don't. Yes. Thank you for saying that, because a lot of people are like, it's just like a flu. And it's like, it's not like the flu. It's that's why they call it a pandemic.
Well, you know, it's so crazy that, you know, that the truth and what's really happening is hard for people to see, because you have just as many people saying that, oh, it's just the flu, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, they indirectly causing harm and maybe even the death of some people, because they don't, a lot of people, I think, don't look for the answers, the knowledge.
Right.
Do the research.
Yep.
You know, they only are interested in what's in their bubble.
Right. I mean, it's about convenience, right? It's about comfort and convenience. And people are like, they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to hear about it. I think that's what the great thing is about. I think that's what the great thing is to me about the protests that are happening during also the pandemic. Maybe not the fact that, you know, but I think it's the perfect storm. I really believe it's the perfect storm.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. And I'm so happy that it's happening. But I think people are being made to think. People are being made to say, hey, this shit has been going on for 400 years against the African-American community. We need to step up and help and be an ally and help our African brothers and sisters out.
Well, you know, yes, it's been happening for a while for the African-American community, but anybody that's came to this country, has gone through similar, not as extreme as African Americans, and let's not forget the Native Americans that were already here. It's crazy because I was born in 65. And so growing up, I read Black history books, and you know, I thought that I was growing up where I was going to be so far away from all these protests and, you know, things were going to actually get better.
Where were you born, but, right?
Huh?
Where?
What year?
No, no. What
where? Year? Louisville, Kentucky, 1965.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought, well, the Voting Rights Act happened the same year I was born.
Wow. Wow. Did you ever see any, like, KKK rallies or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up in Missouri.
That's
okay,
right.
That's the belt buckle of the Bible Belt.
That's Bible
and Belt. And I've seen them in, I've seen the Klan in their vans. They like vans.
Are the vans white too, or are they black vans?
No, they have the black vans. They put a low profile, but they'll have their symbol on there.
Yeah, but how are they going to hate black people and have black vans? Like, how does that work?
Oh, that works just fine for them.
Clearly.
Oh, yeah. long as they had a symbol on there, so you know who you fooling with. But I mean, I've seen bars with the Confederate flag, and you know what's funny is you grow up around that kind of stuff, and you don't think, oh, I'm gonna protest and make them take that down. You just see that bar with that flag in front of them and go, that's not the bar I'm gonna go to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a warning sign. Yeah. And I think, you know,
that's why they put it out. Like, people of color not welcome.
Well, they put it out so they can get people that think like them there. Let you know that, hey, you know what? You can say and talk all the shit you want here because we believe that.
Right.
That's what we're about. And, you know, for them to take it to, well, it's our heritage, you know, no.
That's embarrassing.
There's not
heritage, man. That's some embarrassing stuff. I got embarrassing stuff in my family. I'm not walking around priding that stuff. Like, no.
Well, see, that's the crazy thing about the experiment we call America.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all men are created equal. Well, except for you guys, females, and, you know, whoever, you know, anything that's not white and male, straight male.
Yes.
You can't even be, a little wishy-washy. You know, you can't even be homosexual. You got to be straight up and or keep it hidden so much that nobody knows. That's right. What, you know, they end up, he was with those. Now it makes sense. Right. You know, it's like, and that is just, you know, everything else. It's hidden. You know, it's all men are created equal. You get the lightning in pursuit of happiness. That's supposed to be for everybody.
Right.
But they limit it. you know? And I think people, one good thing about the pandemic took away a lot of distractions. You don't have your baseball game to go to. You don't have your bar to go to, your clubs and like that. And I think more people are paying attention now to what's really going on and what's been going on. You've just been distracted.
Right.
You know, there's no sporting events. There's no comedy clubs, you know. All of the distractions that you would normally have are gone. So now, and people have to take this in and it simmers. It sits inside them for a while, you know. And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of this has been able to be gone on as long as it has, is because nobody's ever really told the truth about things, you know. I remember coming up, someone would get beat by the police. There wasn't no cameras. You just a lie, or you cause that man. Now, just like the incidents that we have right now. That's if there were no cameras, there wouldn't be no story.
That's
but there's, for every one of those guys you've seen recently, there's probably at least anywhere between, I'd say, on the conservative 10 to 50 people that didn't get caught on camera.
That's right.
So, you know, this has been going on for a while. I've had police pull me over for no reason. They searched my car.
In L.A.?
Where? Back in Missouri. I've had it a couple of times here, not as much. Mm-hmm. But pull me over, search my car. And then I tell my white friends about it, and they go, well, did you do anything? I was like, no. Did you have anything illegal in your car? I said, no. And what are you complaining about? And it was like, hey, I know my rights.
They can't
just do that.
Right.
But, you know, let them get pulled over for no reason. And then they talk about their civil rights. And it's like, I don't mind everybody else's civil rights being trampled on, but you trample on theirs.
That's right.
And they flaunt it. They flaunt it. Look at those guys that had those automatic weapons at, in Minnesota at the Capitol.
That's right. Nobody got shot there. Nobody got arrested. They were all fine people, as per Trump.
There wasn't no riot gear. None of that. These guys had guns, but they had those guns to intimidate people. They've always been able to intimidate people. But, you know, we'll hide behind the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Isn't the second, the right to bear arms?
It's the Second Amendment. Yeah, the right to bear arms.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? The right to bear arms, but listen, Frank, if you go out with guns, you know, carrying a gun, or if I go out carrying a gun, there's a cop coming for both of us.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if these protesters was in the street with guns,
oh, Jesus.
They had the Marines out already.
Oh, my goodness. It would be like even worse than like the kind of war zone my place was like a few weeks ago. Because I lived off of Melrose.
But you know what?
Yeah.
That shows you the difference in America of how things are handled.
Yeah.
Those guys, some of those people that were protesting had the Confederate flag. Some of them had the Nazi flag. Mm. I mean, the last time I checked, the Confederates lost, the Nazis lost, but yet we still support them. I mean, things are changing at a rate that is surprising a lot of people, and it hits them, and I think it stuns them.
But are you surprised? I mean, you talk about 400 years. Not that rapid, Frank.
Well, I'm talking about recent history. I mean, you think about it. you got some police officers kneeling now. I mean, 3 years ago, Colin Kaepernick was a bad word.
That's right.
Black Lives Matter was a bad word just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
How dare you kneel? Kneel. But that just goes to show you the mentality of some of the people that are in control in America. Because I did the research, and never in the history of mankind has kneeling ever been disrespectful. That's you can go all the way back to caveman days. Never been disrespectful until you got something to say.
That's right. Can protest peacefully. Then if you make noise, then you're getting arrested and being called all kinds of thugs and looters or whatever. So it's just like, then how do you protest? Like, how do you want me to protest? How do you want me to speak out against the brutality that's taking place?
Look, there's a fair amount of people that are out there that are protesting. I mean, a large amount of those people that are protesting because they know what's wrong and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
You also have people that don't want things to change.
Sure.
And they put people in that protest.
Sure.
You know, to cause confusion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go back. I do a little history. You know, that's how they broke up the Black Panther organization. They infiltrated, and then they would say this, say that, caused the confusion amongst Black Panthers. Had whites, they had Asian members, they had a lot of different nationalities, because it wasn't them being terrorists. Now, some of them may have did some things that, you know, were illegal. That shouldn't be the whole organization. That's like me trying to say that, you know, all of America is bad. No, it's actually small percentage with a lot of money.
Right. 100%.
And a lot of people that are willing to follow.
Right. I mean, Frank, did you hear about this? I mean, first of all, what's been really, really alarming is I think they found a young man in Texas being hung from a tree. Now they're finding all these young Black men being found, like, that they've committed suicide, that they're hanging themselves off a tree. I mean, it's lynching in 2020.
Well, I still haven't seen stories here and there. But it just goes to show history. Yeah. I mean, this is the mentality of the people. This is how they put fear in the people. You hang one person and then all the rest would step in line.
Yeah.
But I mean, from what I've seen, some of them could be suicide, but the ones that aren't, they have to be suicide, because now you really lighten the match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And after, you know, they haven't been showing that on the news.
Right.
Because you want to get some riled up. Even, like I said, even the ones that aren't suicide will be suicide.
Do you think there are actual, I mean, look, I don't know, man. I don't know, in this day and age, if you want to commit suicide, I think there are other ways of committing suicide than hanging yourself off a tree.
Well, yeah, there's lots of ways of doing it, but I'm telling you.
You're taking a gun. I mean, not that I'm suggesting it, and not that I'm, perpetuating this in any way, but I'm just saying, like, for me, in this day and age, like, committing suicide by hanging yourself, and now not just one, there are like multiple stories coming out, man.
I've seen a few. There's actually, I think, a couple in California, but
yes,
they found in Georgia and like that. I'm telling you, they have to be suicide.
Of course,
have to be.
Of course
they have to be.
Of course,
because
they do.
Now you're going to see why people are out there in the streets protesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because because you're going to see that America, and like I said, not all of America, but there's enough America that's that nasty and that ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Black Wall Street, you know, they talk about black people rioting. They burnt up that Wendy's and they burned up this and that. They, white people, took out 39 square blocks, burned it to the ground, gone.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first times that airplanes were used
mm-hmm.
on citizens. They were throwing turpentine balls
yes.
out on fire that yeah. helped burn things.
Yeah,
they normally use those planes for crop dusters,
yeah.
but you don't learn that. You don't learn that in the history books when you go to school.
And that's exactly the point.
If you knew that,
precisely.
Then you would also know that yes, getting shot in the back by a police officer is certainly possible,
sure.
especially when you can burn down a whole community
definitely.
And kill like 200 to 300 people.
That's right. 100%. I mean, you were talking about that you were taught Black history, right? So I went to high school in Jersey City, and I was never taught any of those things, right? The history that I was taught was very whitewashed. It was everything's fine. We had a little bit of slavery issue, but it's okay. We gave them freedom. Now we're good. Racism is gone. Okay, have a nice day.
Well,
it was like that.
Well, here's the thing. Now, coming up, they ain't teach that in school. No Black history. There was a traveling salesman that came to our house. I'll never forget it. And
wow.
he was in Black history books, a whole encyclopedia of Black history. And my parents
wow.
bought the whole thing. And
wow.
that's how I learned. And then I was looking at what I was learning in school. And I was like, I wanted to believe what they were teaching me in school was true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I put my hand over my heart and I pledge allegiance to the flag, I wanted to
yeah.
believe all that was true. But it was true, but not for everybody.
Right.
Not for everybody.
Right.
And we America does not want to admit how ugly it has been.
Yes. Because we want
to
come across
people of color.
100%. And look, we want to uphold this image of progress. We want to uphold an image of a country that is very progressive, and we've never done anything bad. We've never had like a fucked up history. And that messes with that image that we want to put out in the world. Because I'll tell you, as an immigrant who was born and raised in Pakistan, you know, the image that we grew up with of America is this progressive country, accepts everyone, embraces everyone. We knew nothing about slavery. We knew nothing about what they did to Native Americans. We knew nothing.
And see, here's that's a good point, because a lot of brothers and sisters here get upset
yeah.
with some of the minorities that
yeah.
come from different countries because
yes.
they don't understand our experience. Well, guess
yeah.
what? Just like they didn't teach you here in the United States about your history, our history, Black
yeah.
history, they ain't teaching it in Pakistan. They ain't teaching it in India.
That's
so
right.
those people in Asia, they have no idea about, you know, even if they know about slavery, they figured, that's gone.
Yeah.
And if they knew about Jim Crow, that's over. That's gone.
Yeah,
but they don't know what happens day to day.
Yes. I never heard about Jim Crow. I never heard about slavery. I never heard about, didn't even know what the N-word was. Didn't know. What is that? Didn't know. Never learned it.
That's a word you could have not learned and been much better from it. I think it's just a label that you know how you get those labels and you try to peel it off and
yeah.
it's sticky, and it should be gone. It really should be.
I agree with you. You
know, along with the police brutality and you know, not treating everybody equal.
I'm with you. You know how I came across that word? It was very, very strange. My oldest brother used to work as a, he had just gotten a job at Prudential working as a salesman, selling like life insurance and stuff like that. And, you know, look, we're this poor immigrants and we're like trying to make money. So my brother was working really hard. He was hustling really hard. And then so every month they would post their top salesman, you know, on the first of the month. They would and my brother ended up beating out this white guy that he used to work with. And they, you know, and my brother became the number one salesperson. And my brother said that he comes home one day and he was like, "You're not going to believe what this guy told me." And it was like, "What did he say?" He's like, "Well, you know, I became the number one salesperson for this month. And this guy called me the sand N word." And I was like, "What is that?" He's like, "Well, the N word is like a derogatory way of referring to black people." And I was like, "How did they come up with that?" And I was like, "Okay." And I was like, I was just really baffled by it. I was like, "Okay, sand N word." And I was just like, "Do they think that we live by the beach? Like, we can't afford the beach. We're poor immigrants. Like, we never live by the beach. I actually have never even seen a lot of sand in my life. Like, I've seen like barely seen sand when I went to the beach, and that was it. So, for me, it was just all very confusing." When it came in my periphery, and I was just like, "Oh, that's weird. How did they come up with that? Like, you know, like how did they come up with that word? Like, it's so freaking weird." I mean, to me, it's fascinating how I've actually come across some comics, non-black comics, who feel like it's okay to be like, "Well, I'm just using it in a joke, and it's fine." And it's like, "No, it's not. No, it's not. It has a very painful history. No, it's not."
Now, I will say this to be fair. I don't mind if somebody, I'm going to say that you're not going to expect.
Oh, Frank.
If a white guy was to use it in a joke, it better be funny. It better be funny.
I don't know, man.
You could get away with it, but that joke better be funny. I mean, be funny.
Like, you mean, Louis C.K. did that joke like that, didn't he? He did a joke about the N-word. Didn't he? Louis C.K. did a joke about the N-word?
I think he did.
Yeah.
It's just that so much power is put into that word that's very unnecessary, and it's because of the fact that people aren't treated equal.
Yep.
So that word was used to make you less than human, less than American.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're a second class or a third class citizen. You're
right. Right. Because that movie, I forgot the name of the movie, but the Indians, they called the Native Americans prairie niggers. Prairie niggers. I can't think of his name. He was in that movie, but it was about and you ask him and yep, those. Yep. I mean, it's just you pick where the people. What was in
12 Years a Slave?
No, it wasn't even those movies. It was like I can't think of his name. Leonardo DiCaprio was fighting a bear and was out in the wilderness.
You talking about The Revenant?
Yes. Yeah. In that movie, when they talked about the Indians, they call them prairie niggers. And I was in the movie theaters. I was like, damn. Even then?
Pick a
area. You know, they lived in the prairies, so they were prairie niggas. You live close to some sand, or your people of skin type live by some sand, so you just put sand.
Dude, can
boom,
I tell you something?
Prairie, boom.
But I didn't even live near sand. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how?
No, you don't have to. You have to. This is mentality of those people. It's just like they think that the United States is a bigger piece of pride than Africa. The continent of Africa is much, much larger than the United States. Right. But if you look at it on a globe, you'd never know that.
That's right.
It's the population. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that, you know, people are getting shot in the back. It don't right. matter. Okay, yeah, he shot a taser over his shoulder. Yeah, that was wrong. But did he deserve to die for that?
Right.
I watch videos of a white guy fighting with the police, took their baton and their car, and not one shot was fired. Not one. Not one.
Because they weren't in fear for their lives, Frank.
No, because it was a white guy.
Yeah, because, you know. Hey, listen, Dylann Roof sat down in a black church, prayed with black folks, and then got up and took a gun out and shot all the black members that were in this black church. And mm-hmm. then he was escorted by the cops, and he said that he was hungry, and they took him to Burger King to eat a fucking burger when he did a mass shooting, and then just went on about his life. Like, wait. What? Did you just buy him Burger King? What the fuck just happened?
You know, I don't think if I went into a white church and did the same thing, and on the way to the police station, I say, hey, can you stop by the Popeyes? Because they had them chicken sandwich. I like to get me one of those chicken sandwich. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think.
Listen, or if me or my brother did it, and be like, we're like, hey, can we find the local Indian restaurant and can just stop and pick up some tikka masala, and we'll mm-hmm. be on our way to the prison? Could we just do that, maybe?
But they want you to believe that there's no difference, that everybody's treated the same, and you see it every day that it's not that way.
Yeah,
it doesn't. You know, for every one of these events that we see on TV, that, like I said, that are captured on TV, there's thousands of little micro racism and you know, people, like I said, people worry about the police. They better be worried about the prosecutor. They better be worried about the judge. They better be worried about, because you're seeing how all this works together.
Yes.
They want to try to tell you they said it on TV, the president, there's no systemic racism in the United States.
Right. Just dismissing it altogether. I mean, you know my story about getting attacked in a hate crime where I got my neck destroyed and had to get neck surgery. I mean, they have a video of this woman physically coming and attacking me. And the judge dismissed the case, saying that they don't have enough evidence and they can't constitute it as a hate crime because they didn't have the audio on the video, her spewing racial slurs at me as she was attacking me. What? You know what they said? They said that they didn't have enough evidence. I shit you not. The whole fucking thing is caught on camera. What more of an evidence do you need? They're like, it's not enough. It's not clear enough. Sorry.
Hey, you know, the police can shoot you. You're caught on camera and people are like, no, not guilty.
Not enough.
Not guilty.
Not good enough, Mona.
Not good enough. You know, and it's starting, like I said, with the distractions gone, people are like, hey, wait a minute. That don't make any sense. Yeah. And then you think, oh, that's just one incident, and here's another one, and here's another one, and here's another one. How many isolated incidents do you have before you realize that, you know what, they're lying. We have a problem. There's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, things become – so you're saying that the pandemic has cleared people's vision to really see what's happening because just like some, you know, distractions.
Some. I mean, it's cleared the board. Like I said, it's cleared the board on distractions. So some people, they have to, you know, they're watching the news. They're taking stuff in. You know, you can block a lot of stuff out. I've realized it myself because of the pandemic and being at home that, you know, hey, I'm not a big sports guy, but I mean, people that would go to the game and like that, they would miss all this news and stuff because they at the ballpark or they, you know, they're going to the concert or they're going, you know, they're going out somewhere where now you're more set in and you automatically as a human, you're taking in, you have to make up for that information, that distraction. Now you're soaking up what's going on around you. And some people they're afraid because, wow, I never thought it was really like this.
Yep, absolutely.
And Black people are like, yeah, it's been like this.
That's right. That's right. I think, you know, I would say for someone like me, right? Like when we come to America, we're like made to believe like, yeah, everything is great. You're accepted and you're welcome. And listen, and to a lot of, you know, to a lot of level, we are, you know, embraced and accepted, but because also we are not aware of the racism that is happening against the African-American brothers. Right. So we're just like, oh my God, no, we're, you know, we're here. And, you know, and this is something that I've heard around the South Asian community a lot, which is like, well, African-Americans are born and raised here. I mean, why can't they be further along than we are? It's just like, because there's fucking systemic racism against them. There is history of slavery. My ancestors, or even me, I'm an immigrant, forget about my ancestors. I did not experience any slavery. Of course, you know, I don't have that perspective, but I can have empathy. I can have compassion. Right. I can choose not to be ignorant and open my mind. And be like, this is shit happening because it didn't happen to me. Doesn't mean it didn't happen to, you know, African American brothers and sisters.
Well, the thing is, you will be included if you don't go along with the plan. You know, as long as you believe. It, you know, and some people are comfortable. I get it. They don't want to think. They don't want to feel because, you know, you take a couple of steps back. You got to realize how long you've been wrong.
Yes.
You know, and wrong about some of the things that are going on in this country. Something as simple as, do you realize that the Voting Rights Act, and I heard Joe Biden say this when he was with on the radio show, the Breakfast Club, when he said, you know, if you vote for Trump, you're not Black or something like that. He also said, and no maiden, he also said, hey, I was the guy that extended the Voting Rights Act. Extension for the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Voting Rights.
Yeah.
They extended it for 25 years.
Oh, Frank, you got cut off there for a second. Hang on one second.
Same. Right? Okay.
Hang on one second. Let me remove you from the stream and add you back in. Let's see. How's that? Can you see me? Yeah, your connection is getting a little choppy, but that's okay. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Voting Rights Act.
But got
it. Oh.
Now, when are the white people get their extended? Now, here you are. You grew up in this country.
Yeah.
You build, you know, the country, help maintain, and why are we getting our right to vote extended? Why can't it just be like, okay, you guys, because America wants you to believe that everything's okay. And it's not just Republicans, it's Democrats too, because he said that. That there is something wrong when you are born and raised in this country and somebody's going to extend your rights to vote? Mm. To you are a citizen? Listen, and we're going to you're going to extend it for 25 years. Oh, thank you. No. Right. But don't tell me there ain't no when that is a thing.
Right.
You have to extend my right to vote for 25 years.
Right.
That's a God-given right.
That's right.
See, I got a problem with the people that those are inalienable rights, God-given rights.
Yes.
I got a problem with the people that think that they're the middleman for God.
Yeah.
They'll decide when you get these things that he promised us.
That's right.
As human beings.
That's right.
See, they want to be the middleman.
Yes. You know what the interesting thing that's happening, Frank, is that the death of George Floyd, I think it's way bigger than even we thought that it was gonna, like the way it has caused the revolution and the way that it has, which has been incredible. We are now seeing truck drivers, right? The poor truck drivers in Pakistan, in like rural areas, who are like painting murals of George Floyd, because George Floyd is a symbol of a victim of oppression. Like, you know, what does a man in rural Pakistan know anything about George Floyd, but listening to the news and listening to what's happening, right? He symbolizes the pain and the suffering and the oppression that people are experiencing around the world, including the
around the world.
Including
exactly,
you know, and
exactly,
he is like, his symbol is powerful. It's so powerful that it you know, it surpasses religions, cultures, countries. It doesn't matter. George Floyd stands for what people are suffering. The people are suffering every single day,
and that scares people because the people that right now think that they're the majority. It's an illusion. See, there are more people that are oppressed than there are people that are rich and wealthy and you know. So, in a fair society, everybody has the same chance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have that same chance if you go into a shitty school.
That's right.
And nobody will put money into the school for you to get that education, or put corporations that will give you that job. And it's a game, because they give you the illusion that, hey, it's all fair, it's all good,
right,
until you look and you go, wait a minute.
Right.
Why is it that way?
Right.
Why should I have my voting rights extended for another 25 years? I'm a citizen. There's people that served in the military, that have fought in wars.
Yeah.
Their voting rights got extended for 25 years too, but they fought in a war. Wouldn't you think, well, at least the people that, you know, fight in wars for this country, that should be, there should be no extension on that right for them to vote. But see, they don't want everybody to vote. They want confusion so people don't go to the polls.
Yep.
We gotta vote for more than just the president. You gotta vote for the councilman. You gotta vote for whoever the state prosecutor is. You gotta do research. You gotta figure out, because right now, Trump has passed 200 federal judges, and those judges, a lot of them are young guys, and those positions are for life.
That's right.
That's how they keep their knee on your neck.
Yes.
You wonder why. How could that judge rule it that way, or how come this guy had this sentence reduced? That's why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live under the illusion, just because somebody puts up their hand and swears an oath, or you know, takes a pledge, that they're going to be good people. Not all of them are.
That's right.
You know, you got a lot of good police, but you got some that are bad.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the truth. Just like,
sorry, I'm gonna go even further, and I'm gonna say it's a little more than some. It's a little. I mean, I don't know if you saw this guy, but there was a NYPD cop in the midst of the protest. This is more like probably the first or the second week of the protest. Throwing KKK signs, man. Throwing white supremacy signs. Like, he was doing this sign right here, this one. And I was like,
White power.
I was like, you're in the middle of a fucking protest. Like, you're throwing up white supremacy signs?
No. See, you're misunderstanding. He was saying that these protests are okay. That's how they get away with it. That's how they get away with it. They're like, oh no. I was saying these protests are okay. That's how they get away with it. That's the illusion. Make you think that you crazy when you know what you know, and you see what you see.
But Frank,
some of these police officers, the thing going on. You see them out there beating on peaceful protesters.
Right.
I'm squirting full people in the face.
That's right.
You know, misuse even that in the background, even with the pandemic, we still have enough time. You know, it's so natural to them that they forget. You know, they got the cameras, and if they don't have the body camera, somebody got a camera on them, and they feel free to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I believe that there's a lot of good police, but there's good police. They keep their
mouth shut. Yes.
They want to keep their job. Yeah. They don't want to be out there with somebody and said that was wrong and went to the supervisor that, hey, he did something wrong. And about the street, back up. And your backup ain't coming, or your backup low. You learn real quick. Hey, keep better living.
Right.
And some people forget about it. You know, that's held over some officers' heads because it's like, well, I could lose my job, or I could keep my job and lose my life on the job because I ain't.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Frank is getting cut out. Frank, hang on a second. You're getting cut out again. Hang on. I'm going to re-add you there, my friend. There you are. Are you good?
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Frank, we're gonna start wrapping this up. I appreciate you coming on and talking because this was something that there was just no way I was going to sit here and just talk about Juneteenth myself because I don't think that would have done it. I would have never.
You would have done it. Well, it's just that I think that you would have done just as fine a job, and I'm glad that you gave me the invitation to come on here and talk about it because, you know, I was watching protests on TV, and I was just thinking that, you know, I just thought I was so far away from, you know, we're still having to fight for civil rights.
You know,
they make a big deal out of prison reform.
And
it's good. But if you're going to reform something, that means there was something wrong with it to begin with.
That's right.
And who are the people that suffered during this time before the reform? You know, people forget about that.
Right. I mean, look, Aunt Jemima's gone. Uncle Ben is leaving.
Yeah. I mean,
come out and argue with me how Aunt Jemima was like the symbol of Southern America. And I was like, you mean slavery? You fucking idiot. Like, what?
But see, if they grew up in the bubble and wasn't exposed and don't know, see, we got to be careful judging some of these people because just like when you were in Pakistan, had no idea Some of these people live right here in the United States and have no idea, none. That's why when I see, you know, the news and they talk about this massacre and, you know, 50 people shot, that's the most people that were killed and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What about Rosewood? What about Black Wall Street?
That's right.
You know, when they were talking about planes flying into the, you know, the trade centers and like that, the first time that planes were used as a terrorist device. Oh, no, because my Black History book told me about y'all using y'all crop dusters and flying over and dropping these turpentine balls and burning the place down. So that wasn't the first time it was used. Airplanes were used in a terrorist act. On its own, and with citizens against their own people, and also the army and the police were there to help,
right?
You know, but they're gonna tell you.
I was reading that in May of 1985, the Philadelphia police dropped a bomb onto the compound.
The Move.
Yeah.
It was burned down a couple square blocks too.
Yeah, it destroyed like 65 homes in the neighborhood. Doesn't that constitute as attack and terrorism?
But that was an accident. They didn't mean for it to catch on fire like that.
No, because when you drop bombs, well, you never expect it to catch on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
You just think
You get away with that. And people, when the baseball game's on, when the football game's on, all that shit's on, you miss that. You miss the fact that, okay, that really happened.
Yeah.
You know, you're distracted. But now it's like, well, damn, that really did happen. You know, yeah. I don't have, I can focus on it and understand that. Maybe I'm looking at things from inside a bubble. I'm believing the illusion, and like I said, I've said it on, you know, many people. America will keep pretending until there's nothing left to pretend. We're real close to there being nothing left to pretend.
Yeah,
you see it. Your president's showing it to you. You know, you can pretend all these incidents where, you know, oh, that was, he didn't mean, he wasn't for the white supremacists.
No,
he wasn't. You know, there were good people on both sides, you know, but they were holding Confederate flags and Nazi flags and marching and talking about, you know, talking against Jews and, the people on good, but all protesters are bad.
Remember those guys that came out with tiki torches and
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Remember those guys, and they were like, "Jews will not replace us." And I was like,
"Yeah, that's it."
Single Jewish guy I know wants to work at a gas station. Like every single Jewish person I know is pretty well established.
Because they're sucked into the illusion too. They have to believe. Some of these people are as far as intelligence, they're marginal at best.
Yeah.
And now you're going to open the floodgates so that things are equal. Now they're going to be wanting social programs and shit. Because you know what? Uncle Buck can't get me hired like he used to. You know, the system has to change in order for things to be fair. Mr. King said, hey, just hold to your promise what you put on paper.
Yeah.
The Bill of Rights, the Constitution, all you have to do is, we wouldn't have any problems if just kept your promise.
That's right.
America, that's it. Don't mistreat people. Don't make that person less of a person than you are. Yeah. I'm sorry if that's the way you get high, you know, feeling like you're better than people.
Yeah.
But, you know, that high come crash, and the crash is now because people are waking up going, you know what, we ain't going through this again. Yeah. You know, back in the 70s, it got just enough to feel like we're not second class citizens, not as bad, you know. And now I think that the way things are going now, that people want, they want equal.
That's right.
They don't want free. They want equal.
Right. Right.
Across the board.
Yes. 100%. I listen, and rightfully so. Right. I mean, rightfully so. The impact of Black culture on my life has been tremendous. I mean, you know, I grew up, I went to an inner city high school. All my neighbors were, I went to school with, you know, Black and Latino kids. Like, that's all I knew. My classmates were Latino, thought I was Puerto Rican and would start speaking Spanish to me. And I was like, no habla español. Like, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. like, and just the contribution of the African American community in America and the impact that, you know, the arts have made across the globe. I mean, it's undeniable. It's undeniable, man. Like,
well,
how do you,
you know what? I think part
of people,
you well, know, part of that is because of the lack of access to, you know, it's like, you know, you're going to inherit this from your uncle and you don't have to do much. You know, there ain't a whole bunch of around, you know, the difference in the Black community. And so with people not giving you access, equal access, you have to do the best with what you got. I mean, for example, rapping. All that is rhyming words.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if rhyming words is going to make you billions of dollars? You know, it depends on what you're saying.
That's right.
You know, but nowadays it don't really depend on what you're saying, and you don't even have to rhyme. You can mumble. It's not even real rap now. It's just, and that's because. That's because they used to rap with a message, and that got scary because people were like paying attention to that. They weren't distracted. Yeah. They were listening to the music and listening to the message.
Yeah.
And so they had to take out the message, and the people that run these corporations, they don't want that kind of message. They don't want you to get stirred up. They don't want you to know that your vote rights got extended for another 25 years. They don't want you to think about that shit.
No one can mention that right now. I mean, I got to go and read up on this, like, right after this conversation. I mean, that's crazy. Tim Windsor is one of my biggest fans here. And he said, well said, Frank. He is clearly becoming a Frank fan over here. So thank you, Tim, for always joining and supporting. So I appreciate
it. Well, tell Tim that my brother's name is Tim, and I don't believe in fans. He's a friend. If you like me, you're not a fan. You're a friend. That keeps my head. Yeah, yeah. So we friends, Tim.
Oh, you're so sweet. So what's and how are you keeping it? I mean, are you just usually just staying in and just like protecting yourself? You ain't going on a bar, restaurant. What are you doing, Frank? Were you out there doing
I ride my bike a little bit, take a couple of walks, not many walks, you know, my bike, but I keep it close to home. You know, to me, it ain't gambling. You know, I was driving Uber and, you know, with everything closed down, there's not enough money in it to keep you. And, you know, I just feel see the numbers are rising. It's not just because there's more tests. You know, I think that they're going to the rally tomorrow, crazy as the BET awards this weekend. You're going to celebrate. You're going to have the BET awards show, you know, and everybody's going to, I'm sure, going to be packed in there. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
Really?
But to me, that's just as.
What's happening?
I saw a commercial on TV about it, and I was like, what? And I was like, that's just as crazy as those people getting into an auditorium to see Trump. And they're going to sign a disclosure, disclaimer saying, I promise I won't sue you if I get coronavirus. Well, if you get it the right way, you'll be dead. You won't even have to worry about getting suing somebody.
Listen, so, man, but people are fucking stupid. Like, you have to be so stupid to go to a rally where your person that you want to elect is saying, you just go ahead and sign that waiver so in case you die, we're not responsible. But hey, we love you. Vote for us. Okay, bye.
Did you see that there were people like 2 or 3 days before? I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but there's a line of people waiting. Some of them been waiting for like 3 or 4 days in line.
Waiting
so
for?
They could for the rally. They got there early. They say they love the man. They want to hear him speak.
You're talking about the Tulsa rally, right? Are you talking about the Tulsa rally?
Trump's presidential rally. There's people who've been waiting in line for 3 or 4 days. They got little tents set up. They were interviewing them, and it was like, wow.
What in their Frank, I mean, they were already living in those tents. I don't think they just moved.
No, these people, they all from all over.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't just people from Oklahoma. It was a lady from Indiana. And so, you know, you're going to get in that big auditorium and you're going to be passing them germs around. They don't want to wear a mask because, you know, that's not American.
American, Frank. They're equating it to slavery.
Yeah.
Slavery?
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. Take
in America.
You take that word in mouth.
I heard someone say that in a video, and I was like, that just goes to show you how good you have had it. You've had it so good that you think that wearing a mask is the equivalent of slavery. That's how good you have had it. There's no equal. There's no comparison. But that's in the mind of some people. That's what they truly believe.
That's crazy, man. That's just insane. So, Frank, are you doing any online shows right now, or can we catch you somewhere? Any other shows?
Mm-mm.
He's like, hey,
mm-mm. Nah. You know, the funny thing is, a couple people asked me to do some video things, and I seen some of the video stuff, and it's like, I don't really want to do that. And
Frank, you said video things. That makes me feel very young.
Well, they try to do like an open mic, like an open mic show, and some of the ones that I've seen, the timing is off, and it just, I don't know. I like being on the stage. I like looking at the people. I like, you know, being able to feed off that energy. And
yeah,
maybe that's the reason why I haven't done any of the videos. But
yeah,
when you called, I was like, what, Juneteenth? Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about Juneteenth.
Listen, I'm telling you, I was not going to do this on my own. I was like, this doesn't even feel right. It doesn't even feel right in my heart. Like, I was like, nah, I can't do this on my own. I got to bring in an expert. I want to bring in someone who's experienced this, who's lived through this, like, or knows so much more about it. I mean, I'm just, like, reading and learning about it just so I don't come across uneducated and ignorant. But, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, talking about your parents buying a whole encyclopedia of Black History Month. Holy shit! I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, that's incredible.
They didn't know it either. The dude just came to the house.
How amazing are your parents to, like, you know, yes, we want to give our kids that. We want to give them this knowledge. Like, that's incredible.
I remember seeing a picture of the guy that mailed himself to freedom. He sealed himself in it. He put himself in a crate, had some holes in it, mailed itself north.
Got some snacks in
it. And I was like, that's the guy I want to be. If I had to live in slavery days, I would want to figure out, you know what? If I put myself in this creek and I mail myself up north, I'll be free. And sure enough, that was one of the first stories that I remember reading in that book. But, you know, some people don't, you know, have parents that care and that love them and want them. My parents never, ever tried to hide the world from us. They never talked. I'd say negative about it, but they keep your eyes open. Be aware. These are the things that happen.
Right.
This the reality happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
Frank, I mean, man, it's always such a pleasure talking to you. You know, we can literally talk for hours. You know that. You
yeah.
We talk for hours. Like, we just never shut up. We just have all these.
I miss the old days back at the.
At the Caspian.
Yeah, the Caspian. Yeah,
one of these days, I'm going to come out and make a trip, and we're going to sit down and have lunch or dinner, and we're just going to talk.
Yeah.
Is what we're going to do.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm But man, this means a lot. Frank, where can we find you? Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Friendly Frank Comedy. You can find me on Facebook, Frank, Friendly Frank. It's my comedy page. And Frank Leslie Robinette on Facebook. You know, I'm not doing that TikTok shit. You know, I'm starting to turn into an old man. I think that's what's happening to me.
Oh, you kids with the video stuff.
Yeah, the TikTok and shit. I'm like, nah. They're like, you know, I'm on the TikTok. No, man.
Oh my God, there's this black grandma on there and she dances to Beyonce. She is amazing. I love her. She's so great. Frank, you gotta check her out. She's so great.
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me right now, man. Come on. She's pretty amazing. I'm gonna send you that video. You should watch it, but it's pretty great.
Okay.
All right, Frank, okay. You stay safe out there, man. Thank you so much for joining. This was really
all right,
man.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you. Love you. Miss you.
You too. Miss
Take
you
care
too.
Of yourself.
Thank all you right. Very much. Take care. All right. Bye.
All right.
All right. That was the amazing Frank, Friendly Frank. You can find him at Friendly Frank. My socials are running right in the bottom right there. You can find me on Facebook at Mona Shake Comedian, Twitter and IG at Mona's Comedy. I am doing the 30-day challenge. So today marks the end of 2 weeks. Yay. Very excited. Thank you so much for joining. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do. Please go ahead and share it with your on your social media if you like. Don't forget to tag me. I would so appreciate you guys. James, thank you very much. Frank, thank you very much. James, have a lovely weekend. Tim, have a great weekend. Have a great weekend. Happy Juneteenth, you guys. Love you guys. Take care.